So you have to work it out with your husband. You mean during the week or during Friday?
Friday.
So you have to work it out that your husband gives you, allows you to have that time. That you're saying, you go to shul to pray Mincha and Marvit, please give me 10 minutes before you go. So I have my time so I can pray. Then we switch. So I know with you know my wife, what she does with her friend, a lot of times when they want to pray, is one will pray and the other will babysit all the kids, and then they'll switch, and then the other one prays and the other, well, the first one babysits all the kids. Put them together, it's 12 kids. So, but that way, at least each one gets the half an hour to pray. They do it, let's say, on Shabbat. But in that particular case, then you tell your husband, listen, I also want to pray. It's just as important as you. So I'll pray half an hour before so you can make it to shul. Please be with the kids so I can go and lock myself in the room and not be distracted. So my tefillah can have the right kavanah. And you work it out. It's very important. Your husband also has, if it's your, a husband has to understand the importance of his wife praying. First of all, a lot of people, I don't know where they come up with that, but a woman have to pray. It's a halakha. A woman has to pray at least once a day. A lot of doesn't matter what. But a woman has to pray one at least one prayer a day. She can choose. Shacharit, mincha, arvit. She's not bound to time. Obviously, better to do shacharit. But if she can, there's kids, there's whatever, then do mincha. And if you can, then do arvit before you go to bed. Whatever you choose. Better always to do the long one. But a woman is not exempt from praying. She has to pray at least once. And the husband has to understand that it's important. And the same way that he has to go to pray in a minyan, he has to babysit the kid for 10 minutes so the woman can, so the mother can pray. It's very, very important. And the bichlal, same thing with the challah. You see this group of women that they do a frashat challah. They make a whole thing out of it and a bunch of women and they read all together tehillim and they... Why? It's empowering the mitzvah. This is not just, you know, putting some flour in a dish and... This is a very powerful ritual. And you bring on you such a hamshacha, such a light to the house. I know it's easier to go to the bakery and just buy the challahs. But it's such a powerful thing that one doesn't want even to miss it. And it's not such a sophisticated thing, you know, it looks to me like women like to get together and do the challah. And even if you're going on vacation or whatever, you're eating out, you get it for the mitzvah. You don't have to eat the challah. The mitzvah is not to eat it. The mitzvah is to bake it. The mitzvah is actually to separate the challah. But these three things are so powerful that a woman needs to concentrate on that. When a woman concentrates on that and the mitzvah of tzniut, of modesty, most of the mekubalim, they say that a woman, what a man achieves with all the physical mitzvot, a woman can do it with just being modest. And modest is not having a dress till the floor and shirt till the here. That's also important. But how she walks, how she talks, how she looks, how she thinks, how she moves, everything. Modesty is a very, very powerful mida. A lot of people think modesty is just I'm going to cover myself with clothes. It's not modesty. It is. It's important. But how you talk, how you stand, how you sit, everything is modesty. And a woman is a queen. You don't see the Queen of England behaving a certain way. She's not even from when she sneezes. There's a reason.